As you can tell, we get to kick off a new series this morning called Changing Your World Through Prayer. Now, I don't know when you think of your world, what that encompasses for you, what you have in your mind's eye, but here's the thought. How many of you would like to know how to make an impact in your world, the world that you live in every day? How many of you would like to be able to make an impact? And if I was to tell you that you were created and destined to do exactly that, and it's something that we just got to grab a hold of, how many of you would say, hey, just, I'm ready to learn. Teach me how. I want to do this thing. This whole series is intended to help us learn how to make an impact in our world. You have been empowered to make a difference in your world. And this series is going to discuss these kinds of things, these kinds of topics, the overarching, some of you that are ahead of me and maybe know more churchy terms than others would know the term intercessory prayer and the idea of praying on behalf of other people. And so that's really what this series is about. It's that concept. It's that understanding. But there's a lot of theology that's tied into this that makes our prayer powerful. It's understanding who God is and who we are in the midst of that, where authority comes from, what the kingdom of God that Jesus preaches all about throughout the New Testament, what the kingdom of God is, how it works, how it functions in our world today. And why that matters is because you and I are empowered and equipped to actually be agents of the kingdom of God on this earth. And he's chosen to partner with you and me. Now, whether that's a crazy plan or a good plan, I don't know, but it's his plan. It's not our plan, it's his plan. And we've got to understand what has been entrusted to us. And so that's the heart. You can open your Bibles to Exodus chapter 17. Four things I want to take out of this story, which is an Old Testament example of this whole concept. It's going to be a picture. It's a story. Hopefully you have a hard time forgetting. It's a powerful picture. It's a powerful story. But in it, the truths that come out of it are the background, the picture of all this doctrine, all these things we learn in the New Testament about the kingdom of God and intercessory prayer and how the will of God is happening or functioning in the circumstances on earth. And so four things we're going to get is that responsibility comes with authority. Say it with me. Responsibility comes with authority. People need your covering. Say that with me. People need your covering. Thirdly, we need to help others. I'm sorry, we need others to help steady our covering. And then fourthly, spiritual authority comes from God. These are the four quick truths that I want to pull out of this story. But let's start, dive right in to the story. So Genesis, Exodus, second book of the Bible. Exodus chapter 17, we're going to start in verse 8. The story just takes us to the end of the chapter. Israel now, just in context, Israel has left Egypt. The Exodus, the book of Exodus, is the Exodus story of coming out of Egypt. They were slaves under hard Egyptian rule, taskmasters, and God said, these are my people, and I want to bring them out. And so Moses comes, and Moses, under the authority and assignment of God, leads the people out of Egypt with incredible wonders. If you don't know the story, you would love to know the story. It's a powerful story. Plagues, 10 plagues that come upon the land of Egypt because they refuse to let the people go, and it all leads up to them, God parting the Red Sea for them to walk across on dry land and closes it back up over the Egyptian army. Talk about cool stories in the Bible. It's a great, powerful story, and the people of Israel, the Jewish people, still tell these stories today. In fact, every time they take Passover, it's a reminder every year of the Exodus story of how God led them out of Egypt. But here in this part, in chapter 17, God has been leading them through the wilderness, and he's been teaching them, I'm your provider. I am your provider. And he is literally providing for them manna from heaven, water from rocks, whatever's needed for this 2 million plus massive people, plus all of their livestock. God is taking care of them with no other provision around. He himself has been their provider. This story takes place right after he brings water from a rock and satisfies their need for water. It takes place. It's the first battle that Israel's going to encounter. It's their very first war. It's their very first fight now that they will actually have to engage in. And so if you like battle stories, this is a battle story. I'm going to read the story, and then I want to go back and take it in parts so we can get our points from it. Sound good? Here's what it says in verse 8. Then Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, this is the first mention of Joshua, by the way. Some of you know him really well from how much more the Bible tells us about Joshua, a whole book by his name. But this is the first mention of him in the Bible. So Moses said to Joshua, choose for us men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the hill, on the top of the hill, with the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses told him and fought with Amalek, while Moses, Aaron, and Hur went to the top of the hill. Whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. Whenever he lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands grew weary. So they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it, while Aaron and Hur held up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. So his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua overwhelmed Amalek and his people with the sword. Then the Lord said to Moses, write this as a memorial in a book and recite it in the memory, in the ears of Joshua, that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar, and he called the name of it, the Lord is my banner, or Jehovah Nissi, saying, a hand upon the throne of the Lord. The Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Powerful story. Some parts of it you probably got, and some parts maybe not as much. So that's why I want to go through this. And I want to look at it. And I want you to understand, as we read Old Testament stories, the New Testament tells us and reminds us that these stories were written down for our learning, our instruction, things you want to understand about the kingdom of God and the nature of God and the way God works with the church today or with believers today. It's full from these stories in the Old Testament, how he worked with his people and walked with the nation of Israel on planet Earth. And so this story in particular teaches us that we have authority to cover other people in a really, really cool and trippy way. I'm going to begin with responsibility comes with authority. And this is out of the first couple of verses. It says, Amalek came and fought with Israel at Rephidim. So Moses said to Joshua, choose for us men and go and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I'm going to stand on top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. Now, the staff of God, if you're following this storyline, God calls Moses to lead the people out of Israel. And Moses is a shepherd in Midian. He's just been for 40 years in the wilderness leading sheep around. And that's literally what he's been doing. And he sees a burning bush one day. God calls to him from the bush. He turns aside to see the bush. God talks to him, says, I'm choosing you to lead my people out. Moses is like, I don't want to go. I'm not very good. I'm a bad speaker, da, da, da. Well, I'm going to send Aaron and this and that. Well, what if they don't believe me? Da, da. He says, what do you have? He's got this staff in his hand, his shepherd's staff. And he says, listen, let me show you some things with that. And he begins to help him understand, listen, this is going to be that picture of my authority with you. I'm standing with you. And God uses that as you read the story. The first, I think, four plagues, all the staff is held out to start them or begin them. And God, he holds up the staff, the rod of God, to see the waters part. And just God begins to... It's not a magic wand, like God is working magic on the earth through Moses, but he is reminding Moses, this is what I told you. My authority for the assignment I'm giving you is right here with you, and it's present. The picture of it is right here in this staff, this shepherd's rod that you're carrying around. So he said, I'm going to go out in the top of the hill with the staff of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses told him, and he fought with Amalek while Moses and Aaron and Hur went to the top of the hill. Now, to give yourself a picture of what is actually taking place, now, this is a war. We forget sometimes, we read the Bible and it doesn't give us gory details, that gory details are happening. Like, this is a war. It's a bloody war happening. Amalek comes out. Amalek is a descendant of if you know the story of Jacob and Esau, He's a descendant from Esau. Jacob is, again, part of the father of the he's named Israel. He's the father of the nation of Israel that is now on the Exodus. So Amalek comes and fights. God wasn't wanting to fight with them. But this is a picture for the rest of your Old Testament reading. Every time you read Amalek, is a clear picture and reminder of the battle we have with the flesh. Remember, Esau gave up God's blessing. He gave up God's blessing and the birthright that he had for a bowl of beans. And he's memorialized in the New Testament as a picture of the things we give up for short-term pleasure. Giving away long-term eternal blessings for the sake of something that will fill my belly or make me feel good right now. That's the picture. And so God memorializes Esau in that picture. This is a descendant of Esau, and the Amalekites are always and constantly a picture of our battle with the flesh and with the enemy and what the enemy wants to do. And so here they're having a battle. So Moses has a responsibility to shepherd the nation of Israel. God gave him that responsibility. He goes out to shepherd Israel out of Egypt, and now there's a war that has to be fought. So Moses says, listen, my job is to shepherd Israel. Joshua, I'm giving you responsibility to lead the troops. Aaron and Hur had a responsibility to assist Moses. Now, God gave Aaron the responsibility of assisting Moses, and Hur comes into the picture. We don't know a lot about Hur, but we know a little bit. He comes from the tribe of Judah and probably was the husband of Miriam. At least Josephus says he was the husband of Miriam, Moses' sister. And they go up to assist Moses. They had their responsibility. Everybody had different responsibilities. And one of the truths about the kingdom of God, just as clear as can be, and you see it take place even in the world today, is that every responsibility comes with authority. Whatever you're responsible for comes with authority. If you're responsible for being a security guard at Target, there's authority that goes with that. You leave Target, you have no authority to secure anything. Are you with me? But because you had a responsibility, you have some authority that comes with it. When God gives assignments, there's authority that comes with the assignment. God gave Moses a responsibility, and so therefore Moses has authority to carry out a responsibility to shepherd, to watch over, to lead, to guide, and to protect Israel. When I was in seventh grade, I think, my parents owned a manufacturing company and we made windows. And part of my summer job was to work there throughout junior high and high school. Actually, not seventh grade. I was probably 15 at the time, so maybe a freshman, sophomore in high school. And I was given the job of window inspector. So the assembly line, the windows would come down the assembly line, and I was supposed to inspect every window that came down to make sure that they opened and closed properly, they did their function, that there weren't any chips in the paint and those kind of things. And so that was my job. I'm 15 years old. I'm at the end of the assembly line, and I've got guys who've been doing this for a whole lot longer, sending windows down my way, who are more than double my age. Just giving you a picture. But when that window came down and it didn't close properly, or it had chips that needed to be fixed or paint that needed to be repaired or whatever else was wrong with it, I had the authority to send that window back to get remade. Now, I was given a responsibility. And I was given a title by one of the employees, Mr. Inspector. Now, he was an Asian friend. And he said it with a wonderful accent. I'll never forget it. And he called me Mr. Inspector. Yo, Mr. Inspector. And I was Mr. Inspector. And that was my job. And even though I was only 15 and they were double my age and I had no business telling any adults what to do about anything, I had a responsibility I was given. And with that responsibility was authority to do what I was given the responsibility to do. And they followed that authority when it needed. And they fixed a window, or we replaced parts that needed to be replaced. And all that to say this, a basic understanding of God's kingdom is this. Anything God's given you responsibility for, he's given you authority for. If you want to understand how the kingdom of God functions, you've got to understand that as a principle. So what are you responsible for? Because there's authority that comes with it. As we read on and find that people actually need our covering. People actually need our covering. It says in verse 11 that whenever Moses held up his hand, Israel prevailed. And whenever Moses lowered his hand, Amalek prevailed. If that doesn't bother anybody, it should. Because the word prevailed in the middle of a battle would mean life and death. That means when Israel prevailed, they were winning the battle. And when Amalek prevailed, Israelites were being killed. Now, for that to be tied to whether or not some old guy on top of a hill picks his hands up or lets them down, that ought to bother some people. That is a powerful, wow, crazy picture. That lives literally were being hung in the balance on whether or not Moses was going to use the authority God had entrusted to him to cover the nation of Israel. Symbolically, he did that in prayer, lifting his hands to the Lord. That was symbolic, but that's what intercessory prayer is. So what I'm going to do, my responsibility, Moses said, my responsibility is to extend a covering of authority, God's kingdom authority, over this battle that's being waged in the valley. And that's what he did. And when he got tired, they were losing. What does it mean to cover? Because I'm using that as a big term in this message. It means to contend for God's will in the lives of other people. It means to contend for God's will to be done in the lives of other people. When I'm contending for you or for somebody in the church, I'm contending for God's will to be done in their life. So for my kids in the morning, I'll pray for them. And what am I contending for? I'm contending for the plan of God for their life to be carried out. The purposes of God for their life to be carried out. What am I praying for? I'm praying for the Amalekite moments where the flesh wants to win or where the temptations of the enemy want to lead them down a road of destruction. I'm praying for him to lose and for the Holy Spirit to win every one of those battles in my kid's life. What am I doing? I'm covering them. I'm contending for them, for the will of God to be done. And the reason I use that phrase, for the will of God to be done in their lives, is because I'm not proposing to you that when you pray, everything you want is going to be done. So I'm going to cover my family. Everybody gets a car. You get a car, and you get a car, because I'm praying, because God is powerful, and he has all resources in the world, so you get a car, and you get a house, and you get a new job that's paying 18 figures. I mean, if I could. But the reality is, the world is not aligned with the will of God. And we see the effects of it everywhere. Even in our own lives, our heart so much wants its own way and wants to follow the way of the world that it's not aligned with the will of God. So often, that's why we come to prayer, is to realign our will with God's will, to come in alignment with him, not him in alignment with us. And prayer is never about twisting God's arm to our will. It's never about getting God to do what we want him to do. But prayer is all about, very much about, aligning my own will with God, but in this world, bringing things into alignment with God's will. So those things that are way outside, the messed up situations in life, messed up situations in your family life, in your home, in your kids' lives, in your marriage life, the messed up stuff that's happening in your city and your community, even the messed up stuff happening in our nation. We pray for those things to come into alignment with the will of God. This is the part of Jesus' prayer when he taught the disciples, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth just as it is in heaven." This is that part of the prayer. The reality is things on earth are not aligned with the will of heaven, and that is what God has entrusted to us to enter into that prayer, that partnership. It's to extend, to cover is to extend God's kingdom authority over the lives of others on planet Earth. So the question is, who has God empowered you to cover? Who's God empowered you to cover? That's why talking about prayer that changes your world. You have a different covering than other people in the room. But God has entrusted you. Parents, he's entrusted you with your home. There is a real, honest trust that comes with that, that God has intended you to have spiritual authority to cover your home. That's why we've got to learn how to use it, how to walk in it, how to understand, how to be aligned with him for that. Some of you have been entrusted with influence in companies, people who work with you and under your influence. And so whoever you have influence in their life, listen, they're part of that trust that God wants you to be able to cover and pray for them. Some of you are singles and you're going, well, listen, I don't really cover anybody. I'm young. I'm just going to school. I'm just getting life done. I don't have a family to cover, so who am I covering? Well, two principles that you've got to understand. One is this, that wherever God has placed you, he has given you influence. The whole idea, the picture of the church, Jesus tells us, is we're salt and light. Salt is a preservative, right? This whole world would go to, in a handbasket, go to hell in a hand, I'll say it, that's right, go to hell in a handbasket. If the church wasn't around preserving the things of righteousness in this world, it would go exactly the way it wants to go. It would follow the way of the enemy. Everything he's trying to do to destroy human life, it would just go that way. Soon as the church is gone, that's exactly what's going to happen. But we're a preservative. So you, wherever you are, in your school, in your workplace, in your friend group, you're called actually to have an influence of salt, a preservative. So that doesn't go that direction, that it influences things toward the kingdom of God, but you're also light. This is the other picture he gives us, salt and light. So your influence is supposed to shine light on things. What is right? What isn't? It's supposed to shine differently than our world. It's supposed to give off a picture of the kingdom of God and how God's kingdom operates so differently than the kingdom of men in this world that people go, oh, I see it now. Operating in a different way. So you have influence. But who has God called you to cover? What is your assignment? Anybody within the scope of your assignment is who God's called you to cover. Mother, father, are you a grandparent? Teammate, a captain? Are you a director? Are you a manager? Are you a pastor here at the Bridge? Are you a bridge group leader? Are you a leader in our next gen? Are you a teacher of our kids? All of these assignments come with responsibility, and that responsibility comes with authority to cover, and that ought to be very encouraging for you. You have been entrusted with a responsibility and therefore empowered with authority. The lesson there for us, though, super important lesson, is that honoring and respecting and disrespecting are a key to that covering. So God has said, hey, listen, I've entrusted you parents to raise your kids according to my will, to teach them my ways, to walk in that, to create an atmosphere in your home that brings about kingdom principles and atmosphere, unconditional love, truths, righteousness according to my word, not according to the world's system of righteousness. I've entrusted this to you to do this. And you can raise kids in that. And listen, I will give you everything you need, all the authority you need to cover these kids in the battles that they face and the wars that they're going to wage. Wow, that's encouraging. Amen? But then as a kid, he says, hey, listen, understand, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Honor your father and mother, for this is right. And it comes with a blessing that it will go well with you in this earth. What happens is this. There is authority. God has given spiritual authority to cover people on planet earth. You, in your free will, also can throw off that authority. You could say, the heck with it. I don't want what they want for me. I don't want to follow those rules. I don't want to obey God's word. I don't want what God's spoken over my life, and I don't want what my parents want to do. And therefore, in that rebellion, I can then throw that covering right on off and make myself completely exposed to the battles of this world. And that's the tie between honoring the authority God's put over you and rebelling against it or dishonoring it. And that's a choice. And we all get to make that choice. Here's what I know about my own life. God has made so clear to me, there's so many things about my life that have gone the way they've gone for the positive, not because of me, but because of parents and grandparents who have prayed and covered my life. So much grace, so much favor, had nothing to do with me. It was them covering me. I came home to hearing my mom praying in a closet, weeping over her family, interceding on behalf of other people and situations going on in our lives. Listen, you don't even have to be a perfect parent. I just want you to know that. You could actually mess up a lot as a parent, but if you get this down, you get this down, there's a lot of grace for you. God says, okay, I get it. You got your broken issues, but listen, as long as you're praying, I still got grace. I'm going to keep pouring it on your kids. They can grow up healthy, even healthier than you grew up. It's so cool. But what wouldn't have happened in that covering if I had thrown it off and if I disrespected my parents and I didn't want what they wanted for my life and I said, you know what, forget you all. I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, that takes me out from underneath their covering, and that exposes me to the enemy and his plans. So understanding these principles are so powerful to get early in life, even now, later in life. Some of you coming to know the Lord later in life, great, because it's never too late to begin to get excited about and exercise the things God has entrusted to you as a citizen of his kingdom. Amen? Thirdly, we need others to help steady our covering. As the story goes on, it becomes a pretty powerful picture here. It says, but Moses' hands grew weary. Now that is about as normal as can be. That's about as human as you can imagine. They grew weary. So they took a stone, they put it under him, gave him something to sit on. Aaron and Hur went on both sides of him and actually held up his hands. Now that, even they would get weary holding up his hands, I would imagine. I don't even know what their stance was. Maybe something like this, you know, like, I got this one. You got that one? You got it? Yeah. Brace yourself. We got this thing. But it says, until the sun went down. So they started in the morning and they went to the evening. This was a long day. There was a lot of steadying going on. But why does this matter to me? To me, it reminds me of human weakness. Reality is, this is all really good. Like, I want to be good at covering my family. I want to be good at covering my company. I want to cover this church in prayer. I want to cover the city that God has called us to and given us assignment for. I want to cover it in prayer. I want to cover this nation that I'm in the middle of and do my part in seeing God's will done in this nation. I want to cover those prayer partners that we pray for all around the world, our seven prayer partners, missions partners that we support as a church, and we have covenanted to them. We're going to pray for you. I want to do all of that, but here's the deal. In my humanity, I forget. And sometimes I'm not very good at it. And I'll go through seasons where I get this, and other seasons where I'm like, what? I haven't been doing this. I don't know about you. But here's what I know, that it really helps to have people in my life that are helping me even in that assignment, reminding me, praying with me, joining us in prayer. We get weary. We forget. We lose our passion for prayer. We despair because we don't see the change happening that we've been praying for. We despair. We need people to remind us, to hold us up, to inspire us, to encourage us, to help us carry the weight of the assignment and the prayer that we're praying. Being responsible for something doesn't mean doing it alone. That's so important to understand. It's because you might be responsible. You might be the parents of these kids to be praying for. You might be the grandparents. Great. But it doesn't mean you have to do it alone. Grab a few other friends and and remind, hey, listen, I just want to make sure once a week you're reminding me. Hey, I want to be doing this with you because I realize I lose my passion for it at times. We share this responsibility. So we started Thursday morning prayer. That's just to help us remember our covering and the things that we're called to pray for. And that's why we do it here 8:15 Thursday morning. You're all invited to come. But we have pastors and staff. We'll have elders a part of that. We'll have all who are available, especially those of you who are retired and aren't going to work early in the morning like that. But we need each other to remember to pray. We need each other to extend that covering. There's a lot of things to cover. Amen? It's a privilege to cover others. It's a privilege, though, to have others in our life that remind us and help hold our hands up. Help breathe life and encouragement and passion back into us. One of the best ways I have seen this happen so far, at least in our time ministering here, prayer time will be great Thursdays. But where I see this happening the most is in our bridge groups. Has always been in our small groups. Why? Because when we gather together, we're reminded of the things that we hold in common. Parents are reminded and that we have a responsibility as parents. Like, and I have a place to say, you know, I feel like I'm really stinking as a parent. And if someone else can go, you know, me too. Hey, let's encourage each other in this parenting thing or grandparenting. I don't quite have it down yet. I'm still learning my way as a grandparent or whatever else. Or in our single life to come together and go, you know what? Listen, I haven't really been praying for anybody. I've just been doing my own thing, doing my thing. I forget that I have an influence. I'm supposed to. Can you remind me, encourage me? Listen, one of the things that happens in bridge groups a lot is this encouragement and reminder to pray and hold each other up in the responsibilities God's given us. And then lastly, I want to say this. Spiritual authority comes from God. Spiritual authority comes from God. It's not magic. It's not a formula. It comes from God. It comes from being aligned with God. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, write this as a memorial in a book and recite it in the ears of Joshua that I will utterly blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and he called the name of it, the Lord is my banner. Saying, a hand upon the throne of the Lord. I want you to say that phrase with me. A hand upon the throne of the Lord. One more time. A hand upon the throne of the Lord. What a picture. Talk about painting a picture. A hand upon the throne of the Lord. This is the experience that Moses was wanting to remember. He built an altar saying, the Lord is my banner. And in ancient times, when you went out to fight, when you went out to war, you held your banner. What was your banner? It said, this is who I fight for. This is the covering I'm coming out under. I do this in the name of the King. Are you with me? It's that picture. This is what the banner means. Who are you going out to fight for? Who's your covering? Who's sending you? Under whose authority are you going on this mission? Are you going on this quest for? And Moses is saying, the Lord, he's my banner. He's my authority. And what I understand about this moment that I just had, this incredible experience of being on the top of a mountain and lifting my hands to heaven on behalf of a battle being fought in the valley, is that my hand was on the throne of the Lord. My reach, my connection, my authority came from him and comes from him. And that was the picture, a hand on God's throne to see God's will and his authority happening on this earth on behalf of this nation that he's entrusted me to care for. And if I could put a picture in your heart, boy, I would put that picture right there. If you have access to the throne of God, new way, the writer of Hebrews says, that was made for us through Jesus, that you could come boldly to the throne of the Almighty Living God and take a hold of his authority so that his will And his covering could happen in the lives of people, other people that you've been given responsibility for. I think my biggest question is, why don't we pray more often for people? Why don't we cover more than we do? Are you with me? Like, why don't we do this every day? Like, kind of stuff. Like, why aren't we, if this really works, seriously, stand with me on this one. Why aren't we praying for this nation more? Why don't we pray for this city more? Why don't we pray for our kids more? Like, if this is all really true and the Bible's really trying, and there's like a whole lot more I could tell you about this topic. You remember when Jesus was going into, we call it the triumphal entry. It's the last week of his life before the cross, leading up to it. And he's going into Jerusalem. And you remember he's weeping. Do you remember what he says? As he's crying over Jerusalem, he's saying, if you only knew who I was, what I've wanted to do is like a hen with her chicks. I have wanted to spread my arms out over you and gather you together. I've wanted to cover you and to protect you. But I couldn't, because you wouldn't acknowledge me. That's the heart of our God. He's been wanting to do that forever. And he wants to do it in our lives. He wants to do it over our church for sure. He wants to do it over this city. And he wants to do it over our families. And he has given you an assignment. And with that assignment comes authority. He's entrusted it to you. You've been empowered. How are you empowered? You're empowered by your alignment with him. If you want to understand more spiritual authority, how come it feels like some people have more spiritual authority than others? Anybody ever feel like that? Like, man, when they pray, it seems like it actually works, or it seems actually powerful. By the way, we've all had that thought, because we've all prayed for people and go, I don't see the results here. What's going on? We have all had that thought. But you recognize in some people's lives there seems to be a degree of authority. And I will tell you this, kingdom-wise, right? That alignment with God is where it all comes from. And when I'm aligned with him and his word, my lifestyle, I align it with his word. I may not be a perfect person, but as I understand life, as I go about living, I'm aligning with his kingdom. Not my opinion. Not the internet. I've chosen where truth comes from, and the truth comes from the word of God. And that, as I align with that in my life, I'm aligned with him. And his authority can flow through my life to those he has called me to cover more powerfully. He wants it for all of you, by the way. He wants it for me. He wants it for you. He doesn't like choose, okay, I want to give you a little authority, and I'd like to give you a little authority. You know, he says, listen, this is your heritage as a follower, as my follower, as you're following me. This is your access to my kingdom. And more than that, it's my expectation that the church would be this in the world until I come. It's our call. So the question, are you under God's banner? Who do you march out for? Spiritual authority only comes from him. You can't get it any other way. So whose banner are you under? Who do you march out for? What's the name that covers you? Jesus in John 17, remember he said, I protected, I covered all those that you gave to me with the name that you gave me. The name that you gave me. My banner was extended, my covering over them, all the disciples that you gave me, except that one that threw that covering off. So whose banner are you under? To be under God's banner means we've made him Lord of our lives. It requires surrendering our life to his care, to his ways, and to his plan. Listen, understand the whole picture is the kingdom of God will presently be reigning on this earth one day. At the second coming of Christ, this world will have a king who is Jesus. Can I get an amen? And he has a way. It's his kingdom. You want to understand how his rule works, what kingdom life is like, how laws and things were going to operate? They're all right here in the word. He's just going to affirm and confirm his word. So we are learning now how to live in that kingdom then. Does that make sense? Jesus is truly Lord of all. We don't yet see everything under his reign, but yet he's still Lord. All these skirmishes and these battles that are being fought are all teaching the church actually how to be the church. You're learning right now how to walk in the authority that's been entrusted to you. I want to make a couple closing comments before we respond in worship. And the first is this. You just need to know this, some of you, that your life does not have to be at the mercy of a cruel world. The world is messed up. It's not the way God created it to be. And your life doesn't have to be at the mercy of it. Do you feel like your life's at the mercy of it? God just says, listen, I want you to understand what it means to be my child. I want to bring you under my authority. I want to cover your life. I want you to experience what it's like to know that there's a God in heaven who is bigger than the messed up things in this world. So you won't feel that you're out of control at the mercy of a messed up world. And you can ask him, Almighty God, to be your God. You can ask him. He's already said yes to you. He wants to be your God, but you can ask him to. You can come under his banner. Jesus, God's Son, came to earth to make it possible for all of us by giving his life to break the curse of sin. And he rose from the dead as Lord of all. He has authority over everything. He has authority to forgive sins, your sins, my sins. He has authority to heal your brokenness, both your soul, even your body. He has authority to redeem your destiny, meaning buy it back for what it was originally intended to be, and to cover your life. That is in his authority for you. So if you don't know him, you don't have him, listen, I just want to tell you, you can just ask him. You can ask him to be your God. You can invite Jesus to come and be the King and the Lord of your life. Some, this message might just kind of move to the other category of, I've done that, but what I haven't done is recognize that I have thrown off the covering. Willfully, I said, to heck with it. And I've chosen my own way. I've gone about my own stuff, just like the writer of Isaiah says, all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. But the good news is, the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. So, you can just come back. You can just acknowledge it. God, I don't want to keep running my own way. I don't want to keep doing things my own way anymore. I want your way in my life. I want to come back under your blessing. And that's a choice. It's a choice to turn away and to turn to him. I invite you to stand with me. He's here right now. He's here right now. The question is, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? God is here right now, and he is speaking to hearts right now. He sees you and he knows you. And you have the opportunity to acknowledge him and receive him right now. song that says, you're here right now. You're moving in our midst. You're touching hearts. We worship you. We welcome you. We want you. It's a great song to say yeah to this message. It gives us time to respond, and I want to come and close with some words at the end. But let's sing this together. It's called Waymaker. It's a declaration of who God is, and it's an offering to say, God, I receive you as you are. Let's sing together. Even when I can't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. For some of you, that's also the message you needed to hear, because you've been praying for people. Maybe with a whole new set of encouragement and inspiration from God's word. You're going to step into that authority to cover. But maybe even with an acknowledgement of that. Even when I don't see it, you are working. And if I don't feel it, you're still working. That's the part where our faith engages the truth of God's word and we take our stand. This prayer for our city, I may not see it, but it's working. This prayer for my grandson, I may not see it, but it's working. This prayer for my friends who don't know the Lord, who are atheists, who just are broken, they're just running, it's working. So I won't stop praying. I won't get quiet, and I won't get complacent, and I won't give way to despair and lay down my arms. Let my arms fall. And I just want to say to all of us, lives are at stake. It really is that big a deal. It really is that big a deal that we pray for people, that we cover those God's entrusted to us, that we lift our hands up to the throne and we take a hold of the throne of God on behalf of those that need his victory and his power in their life. Probably they're not going to pray for themselves. Probably they're not going to pray for themselves. So who's going to pray for them? Amen? Amen.